13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Father in heaven, we pray tonight as we look at thy word, that you'll enlighten us in the knowledge of Christ. And we will know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Lord, give us the infilling of the Holy Spirit so that we will be able to walk in the light as Christ is in the light and have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hear this our prayer for Christ's sake. Amen. I just want to say a brief word with you tonight upon this verse 18 of the fifth chapter of Ephesians. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is a very strange verse, because we have two things that couldn't be more opposed to one another. First, drunkenness with wine. And secondly, filled with the Spirit. One is the blackness of the darkness of hell, and the other is the glory and the whiteness of heaven. You couldn't get a greater contrast than between the two. Here is a man or a woman, and that man or woman here has professed to be saved. They have awaked out of the sleep. Christ has given them light. They have to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. They are to redeem the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. So those are the clear directions. And then suddenly, this man, before he starts to talk about singing hymns and songs and spiritual songs and hymns and psalms, he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And or the marginal reading is misbehaving by having excess of wine. A man that's filled with wine doesn't know what he's doing. They used to say in Ballymena, when John Barleycorn talks, the true man is forgotten. And that's very true. But the great thing is that the Christian is not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but he's filled with the Spirit. Now, if you're going to fill a cup or a bottle with any liquid, you have to have it emptied. And I believe that the first thing we need to do is see to it that we are emptied. No use saying I want to be filled with the Spirit, but I'm going to keep full of other things. Now, there are some things in the Scripture that if you read it carefully, you will find what those things are that fill up the life of a Christian. Now, some Christians are lazy. They're lazy. And there's no doubt about that. They're lazy about the things of God. Now, I used to have a very bad habit, and I had to give it up, because my wife said it was bordered on cheekiness. And when I used to go into a minister's study, I used to take his Bible. And sometimes you have to blow on the Bible to open the pages. And I used to say to him, you must be a stickler because your Bible's sticking. And he used to say to me, don't you say that, Ian, it's none of your business. I says, it is my business, you should be reading the Bible. And you know, our Bibles are neglected, brethren and sisters in Christ. We neglect the Bible. The Bible should be constantly in our hands. Some people never wear away a Bible. In all their life, the same Bible. And it's oh so nicely kept. And it's not, there's not a tear in it. There's not a mark on it. I go through at least one Bible in the year. And my wife says to me, you have that all plastered with everything. No, excuse me, it's not plastered. These are all the signs. And I always find when I'm marking my Bible, I have the right color of a pen. So in my Bible, there's red marks, there's blue marks, there's black marks, there's yellow marks, all in the Bible. But we need to empty ourselves and get the Bible into our hearts and our lives. Now, Bible reading is not reading five chapters a day. That's not Bible reading. Bible reading is reading just how much that you need and God breaks off for you. Sometimes I read the Bible in my daily reading and I only read one verse because that verse captivates me. That verse suggests things. You take up a Bible and you read something and then you follow it down. And you should always keep a concordance handy. It's a very good thing if a word is in the Bible to look up your concordance and see how many times it's used elsewhere. And it's a great thing. But that is just a little bit of Bible study. Not to treat the Bible and say, oh, I have read 20 verses. I know people tell me that they read the Bible all in one year. And I like to think I do that every year as regular reading. But you don't read the Bible in a hurry when you're looking for food. You've got to stop. You've asked some questions of the Bible. Who was this written to? Is there any other verse in the Scripture backing it up? Is there any person in the Scripture who is an example in regard to this matter, and so on and so forth? So we need to realize that we're not to be drunk with wine, we're to be filled with the Spirit, and we're not to be filled with the Spirit except we're filled with the Word of God. And perhaps you should also keep in mind how many times are the Spirit and the Word twins in the Bible. Quote it in the same verse, quote it in the same chapter, and realize that the Word of God and the Spirit of God are very close, just the same way as the Word of God and the Christ of God are very close. For he is, his second name is, the Word of God. You can't know the Bible without knowing God, for God is its author. And the best thing to do when you are reading a book, if you know the author, talk to the author of the book. for he knows what he meant to write down. And so Bible study, to be filled with the Spirit, we need to be filled with the Word of God. But we also need something else. We need to know the mind of Christ in his Word. To be filled, that means you're going to push a lot of things out. You can't be filled with the Spirit and walk the wrong road. You can't be filled with the Spirit and neglect the truth, because the truth shall set you free. And if you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you're going to be a free man. In fact, you'll notice the next verse, we come to speaking. And the man who's filled with the Spirit will speak, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Where some people say, anyone that speaks to himself, he must be doing. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says speaking to yourselves. That is the art of meditation. The art of meditation. I have got to speak to myself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then, of course, there's another part of this verse that people don't want to hear. They don't want to hear you singing. And they don't know whether you do make melody. That's a big question. But I have been sitting in the car with the police in the front seat. And suddenly I find myself singing. And I always wonder what they think of me. They must think I'm half dooty. But you do sing when you start to get into the Bible. The Bible puts a song in your heart, even praise unto God. Singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. And I always look at that word, the text at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you give thanks every day for all things? Have you that thankfulness in your heart? A thankfulness that gives thanks always for all things. You might do it sometimes, but do we do it all the time? In this verse, this chapter of Ephesians, we have all these rules, and they're very important. Submitting yourself one to another and the fear of God. And that's a big thing to do, to submit yourself to another in the fear of God. But if it's for the benefit of God's work and the fear of God's directing you, then you will submit yourself. And then we have that wives may not like this. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I tell my wife, you're lucky it doesn't say you have to submit yourself to somebody else's husband. You have just one husband to look after you. But you have to submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Just have a look at that, dear. In everything. Everything. There's no limitation to that. Husbands, and here's something for the husbands. Love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You couldn't get a greater example than that love that Christ has for the church. And that's the sort of love we need to have for our wives. Some men treat their wives awfully, badly. I'm in Christian homes and I hear how sharp the husband speaks to his wife. I wouldn't dare to do that to my wife. Get a cuff in the ear and deserve it. Probably two cuffs. But that's what it says, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You can't have a good time of fellowship with God except your home is right. God expects the wife and the father of the home to put the home into a place that's a God-ordered home. And that'll never be until we're filled with the Spirit. That'll never be until all these other things are pushed out and the Holy Spirit comes in. And the Holy Spirit needs to dwell richly in our hearts. And there is a great need for knowledge and teaching about the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God. I had terrible trouble when I was a young Christian of knowing whether I was saved or not. I had terrible doubts. And I talked to all the preachers that used to come preaching in my dad's church, all the big men of the religious world in that day. Not one of them could help me. They were highfalutin, and they didn't seem to know that I was only a boy. I had trouble to know whether I was saved or not. And I remember one day coming home from school with terrible soul trouble. Am I a Christian or am I not? And God said to me, I am the witness of that. I'm the witness. And I have given you my word. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no ways cast out. Now, have you come? I said, Lord, I certainly have come. I've come as best as I know how, and I've thrown myself at your feet. Well, what do you expect me to do? I believe that. I have told you that if you come, I'll not cast you out. Do you think I have cast you out? Oh, no, Lord, I wouldn't say that. Well, then, it's finished. The argument's over. You are a Christian. I have said it. So when the devil comes, send him to my address, and I'll give him the story that you're a child of God. You know, it was like as if a ton weight was lifted from my heart. And never from that day have I thought anything more about it. I have his word for the deed. And God's word is what you want to rest on. This word, it'll be the same. And I remember hearing the story of a little boy and his mother who went to the service of a great preacher, and they both came out for Christ. And in the morning, the little boy ran off to school whistling a chorus and was very happy. And his mother got down to the housework, and the old devil came and said, you know you're not saved at all. You waited and that man told you a few things and you had a word of prayer. And now you say you're saved. You're not saved. You're just as bad as ever you were. And instead of that woman going to the Bible and showing the Bible to the devil and saying, "There, old devil, there, it's in the book, and that's good enough for me." She started to worry. And when she came home, when he came home, the little boy from school, his mother was sitting on the stairs weeping. And she says, "Johnny, I'm not saved at all." And Johnny was a very wise little boy. He didn't say anything to his mother. He ran to the little cupboard in the room where they kept some books, and he pulled out the Bible, and he looked up John 3:16, and he ran to his mother, and he says, "Mommy, it's still in the Bible. The preacher showed us that text, that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," and he told us believing was just to receive. "Didn't you receive Christ?" She said, "Yes, Johnny, I received Christ." "Well, it says, shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And that woman was cleared because she came back to the place, the solid place of God's Word. You'll never go wrong trusting the Word of God. That's the message. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Now, you need to be filled with the Spirit to be able to properly read your Bible. Not be drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God wrote the Bible. The Spirit of God interprets the Bible. And the Spirit of God applies the Bible. So you get them to apply it to your heart. And that will mean a great difference to you. And when you read the Bible, you'll not come and say, "I have to read a chapter of this Bible." And you'll not see anything in the Bible if you go to it with those words in your lips. But if you say, "Thank God, I've got 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to see my Bible." My mother's mother was a very godly woman, my grandmother. And she was always with her Bible. She never had the Bible far from her fingers. Even when she was working in her room, she always brought her Bible in and set it down on the stand. And maybe during her work, she would say, "I'll just have a wee peep in here. See, is the Lord something for me?" She lived reading the Bible. She had a tremendous testimony because she was just a simple reader of the Bible. And if you want to know anything about God's doings in your soul, read the Bible. Don't go to the minister and ask him to explain something about theology. Read the Bible. You'll know more than him. If you keep reading the Bible, you'll read him out. So I tell you, just you get reading the Bible. And this Bible is true. It's simple. It's written to meet our need. And that's why you should get a concordance. And you should use that concordance to show you every word that appears and where it appears in the Bible. I know when you're through that, you'll be an old man. You'll have no hair left, like our brother here. His brain is looking up to heaven. He's getting nearer without the hair. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank thee for this wonderful promise that's in the book. Fill us all with the Spirit of God. I would have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I would have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I would feel His presence with me and His arms around me throw. Then my soul shall fear no ill. Let Him lead me where I will. I will go without a murmur, and His footstep follow still. Separate us with Thy blessing. Keep us this week. We have a lot of things to do. Give us the ability to do them. And may we be kept by the hand of God. Amen. Amen. And amen.